Coaches, Adam here. We're excited to announce that we have partnered with our friends over at Glacier and Huddle to bring you a special event at the early part of 2024 called our Leadership Summit. Now, what exactly is a Leadership Summit and how does it all work? Let me explain. We've selected, together with Glacier, 10 cities that we will be visiting in the early part of 2024 during the months of January, February, and March, hosting three-hour leadership summits available and open to all coaches of all sports. All you have to do is visit glacierclinics.com and RSVP, just simply so we know you're coming. Find the city that works best for you. Tell all your fellow coaches, tell all those in the school, and make a plan to be out at one of the 10 cities. These leadership summits are going to be transformational. We will spend 3 hours unpacking and unleashing a framework that you can use to elevate your players into the leaders needed to win, and unleashing the secret to creating that transformational culture that we all want. Some new content mixed in with some core foundational teachings of Lead 'Em Up. It's going to be a morning that will change everything for you in 2024. Check out glacierclinics.com. View the list of the 10 cities. Find the one that works best for you. Tell your friends, and we will see you there. Let's go. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. I am Kyle alongside with Adam. And Adam, today we're talking about a topic that really hits home close for me. Because as we were kind of discussing this in like our pre-show conversation here, I think back to how I got involved with Lead 'Em Up. And it's really from this conversation that we're going to have here, coaches, patchwork leadership. So those of you that don't know my background or my story, I was coaching for a long time in a school outside of St. Louis, Missouri, Orchard Farm High School. And what was cool at the time is I was going to these Glacier conferences, Adam, which is kind of great because now you and I get to go speak at these conferences, but I was going to these Glacier conferences and I was getting more drawn to the cultural and the leadership sessions than I was the X's and the O's. And at the time, the school that I was at, we weren't chock full of like Division I athletes. You know, we had kids that might have went on to play at the next level. But for the most part, we're talking about programs to where your kids are high school athletes. So I would go to these sessions. I would go to these clinics. And then I went back with this idea of like, I got these pages of notes. I need to put together this character and this leadership plan for my athletes this season. And that's something I'm going to take on. So what I did is basically take 10 weeks, so to speak, you know, in a season as we get into it. And I would think of topics, pride, heart, courage, character, things like that. And then it was basically every week I was trying to put together a folder of materials to use. You know, if we're talking about character, all right, we'll have a couple quotes that we start the week with. I'll share a couple stories at the end of practice. And then on a Thursday, I'm going to share a video clip that points to it. And this is going to be our theme for the week. And we're going to tie it in. Certainly it wasn't bad, but it left a lot on the table. And, you know, then kind of came along the time where you started talking about Lead 'Em Up on the Hardwood Hustle. And that's when I was like, oh, thank God, because I'm tired. I've got 4 preps I'm teaching. I'm coaching 2 sports back to back. So I'm going, you know, from June all the way till March. And I wasn't going to stop doing it, but I couldn't find anyone to help me really build it out. Because everyone I talked to was like, yeah, it's cool, but I just don't have the time for it. So when we're talking about patchwork leadership, one of the things that I struggled with and where I saw the need for a program like this is that it was siloed. And I know that you have a lot of thoughts on this, Adam, but you know, I was trying to patchwork it together and there was no momentum from week to week. Every week was a new week. And I think it left a lot on the table. What are your thoughts? What's your experience there with a program and how you see it being siloed for coaches and what they experience as far as results are concerned?
Man, this is such a big topic in my mind. I'm really passionate about this one because whether you call it the patchwork curriculum that as you alluded to, where you're just kind of, you're finding stuff online and patching it all together and trying to put together this leadership program. I call it the GLDP, the Google Leadership Development Program. Essentially, it's, let me just Google. Like I've got to Google something on humility because right. That's what I want to talk about this week. And I'm going to Google things and I'm just going to browse and, oh, that sounds neat. Oh, that sounds neat. That's good. Oh, I like that. That's good. Oh, and it's just this patchwork, this Google collection of content. And the reason I'm so passionate about it is because, frankly, this is what you're seeing with the majority of coaches in the country that are leading their own leadership programs. This tends to be the foundation. This tends to be their approach. This tends to be their method for building out a leadership program. And you come across a lot of coaches that say, oh yeah, I'm kind of doing my own thing. Hey, what are you doing for your leadership and character development? What are you doing to grow your culture? Oh, I'm kind of doing my own thing.
Yeah, we got a notebook. We got a file. We got a notebook.
Yeah, I've got all this stuff. I'm doing my own thing. And I do want to emphasize a point that you made. It is not bad.
No.
Are you kidding me? It's not bad. No. It's not bad at all. And if that's what you're doing or if that's been your approach, and listen, that's not a bad thing. In fact, if you had to tell me you doing that versus doing nothing, are you kidding me? No brainer. I celebrate you for the work you're putting forth, the effort, the interest and desire and passion that you're exhibiting to try to, you know, lead your players and grow them in their leadership and elevate your culture. But the reason I'm so passionate is because have you ever met somebody that is like, they're putting forth a lot of time and effort, but they aren't seeing the results? And you kind of have some insight into what could help them.
Right.
Yeah. It reminds me of my dad. I've said this before. I'm not a handyman. Right.
Yeah.
My best tool in my toolbox is my wallet. Right. You understand where I'm going with that? Okay. I'm not a handyman. And frankly, there'll be times where I'll attempt to like work on something or build something. And my dad, who is just a master at this stuff, I mean, he is a craftsman. He is sharp. He will come and see me in the midst of it. And he'll just be like, oh, Adam, stop. And he tries to be very polite with it, but it's just like, for all intents and purposes, he's looking at me and he's like, you're not getting the results you want. You are spending way too much time. There is an easier way. There is a better way. There's a more effective way. Let me jump in, please.
Right. Yeah.
And frankly, that's what I feel like when I hear coaches who are patchworking their leadership program, who are building out their Google Leadership Development Program. I just can't help as to someone who does this for a living, who's seen it and been engulfed in it for years, where I just look at it and say, coach, man, can I please just offer up some input? Can I please just kind of offer some assistance here? It's not that you're doing it bad. I just think there's a way that can deliver the results in a much quicker, much more impactful, much more concrete way.
Yeah, much more. That's the thing, is that the efficiency, right?
And the effectiveness. If you want to narrow down to two things, efficiency and effectiveness, that is what is lost when you just try to put a patchwork curriculum together. And for us, it is important that coaches understand why the effectiveness and efficiency is lost, right? And there's a couple of things that I have in my notes as to why you've got to be really careful and recognize, you know what, like if I'm doing this, am I truly generating the return on my time invested? Am I truly delivering the impact? The first thing, and you kind of already mentioned it, when you're doing the patchwork curriculum, it is siloed. Mm-hmm. It is siloed,
right?
Meaning it doesn't build. You were kind of already alluding to it, Kyle. Every week is its own little animal, its own little category, its own little set of exercises. Nothing is building. Like, we're building just simply through time, but the content hasn't been constructed in a manner that it builds upon the foundation to which we're setting. There's no consistency right. within it, right? And all of a sudden, what we did last week really was its own thing. Right. And what we're doing this week is its own thing. And what we're going to do next week is its own thing. It's not been built in a strategic manner, right? Where last week, you know, what we did last week is really a springboard, right? That we are going to build this week on, right?
And where we're going to 10 chapters and each one closes and you just move on to the next one. There's no sustained carryover or momentum.
Yeah. I mean, and it feels like, it almost, you like read the book after the 10 chapters and you think, was this all part of the same book? Right. Like, did someone just like randomly pull chapters from different books and put it all together in one book and call it a book? It feels like it was just 10 mini books, right? Didn't feel like a built upon kind of story there. So that's the one challenge. You know, the first thing that comes to mind, everything is siloed. Right. Everything is new and randomly assorted lessons, and it doesn't develop a foundation. It doesn't build on it. And as a result, you're not gaining and generating the momentum to which you could. That's the first part. Okay.
Right. You're leaving a lot on the table.
A lot on the table. And I just love that you kind of alluded to the fact you experienced this. Right.
Oh, yeah.
The other dynamic that happens in this setting is exercises lose effectiveness when they are pulled out of the culture and framework that they are created in. Let me say it again. Exercises lose effectiveness when they are pulled out of the framework and culture that they were built in. Here's the thing, okay? When you Google things and you just find different things and you're patching it together, just because it works for them in their program, in their culture, doesn't mean you can grab it from them and just think this random thing is going to make its place and be as equally impactful in your program as it was in theirs. Frankly, you know nothing about their culture. You know nothing about what happens on a day-to-day. You know nothing about their week-to-week. You know nothing about the themes or the inside stories and the inside jokes and the personalities. You know nothing about where that exercise or theme was derived from. And the reality is it may work for them because it is part of something within their program that is not necessarily in your program. And to think you can just grab it, like, here's an example, okay? There was a great story in the College World Series of Oral Roberts that whenever a batter got a hit, they went to first base, and their first base coach would give them a gummy worm. It was like a little treat, and it became a big thing in their program. I mean, like the gummy worm Haribo, like a manufacturer got involved. It became a big thing. And everyone was talking about this little thing because they did it kind of secretly. And that's actually what got it going in conversation, because the coach would kind of pass them something. The player would kind of eat it. And people, announcers, like, what's going on? What do they got? And everyone's in on it and stuff like that. And they began to unpack what it was. Well, you know, there's a tendency, if you're just patchworking your culture and your curriculum, you're like, ooh, that's good. Oh, that's real good. I like that. I'm going to do that now. Hey, first base coach. Hey, I went to Costco. Here's a bag of gummy worms. Let's start doing the tasty treat at first base when our players get a hit. I mean, to think what is being done there is going to generate the same experience and response and momentum over here just doesn't work.
I got a good example for you on that.
What?
Yeah. I got a good example for you on that. Sometimes we'll look at the professional ranks. And I think I might've shared this earlier, but like this August, we had our team session where we had a lot of kickoffs up in Maryland. I come back home and that Saturday is my son's like youth football jamboree. And one of the teams that are there, this is all like, you know, 10, 11, 12 year olds. The coaches come out like they're the San Francisco 49ers, like leading these little kids out onto the field with the boombox, right? And then they get them all into a circle and everything they're doing is hyping up that you see on TV. Just because it works for Deebo Samuel and the San Francisco 49ers and that's their style, doesn't mean it's going to work for your youth football team.
What did it look like with the team? Were the kids hyped or?
They were hyped, but here's what happened. Going back to like the effectiveness of a program, we could relate it to this. They blew the speaker. The kids got out there and first possession, false start, offsides, you know, penalty. And then they give up two touchdowns. They're down 14-0.
Yeah, the mixing boards are off like, there.
Just because you see something at the collegiate level or at the professional level doesn't mean it's going to work for your team. And I can't think of the movie reference off the top of my head. Coaches, shout it out on social. Give me the answer here. But there's a scene in my head where a player is looking over at the sideline and they see how much fun the other team is having and how the coach loves them. And in this movie clip, the coach then goes and tries to put the arm around their player and give him a hug and like show him some love and try to act all cool and like in it like the other team. And the player just looks at him and shoves him and walks away like, you can't do that. You're not like that.
That's not who you are.
Yeah, help me out. If you know that movie, let me know. I'm drawing a blank on the reference, but we can't do that.
But it's all a great reminder that just because you see it doesn't mean you get to grab it and be able to implement it at the same level of effectiveness. That there's more to the story. And that's what happens when we Google patchwork. We're taking things that work in the lens and the culture framework of other teams. And we're thinking if we just insert that here, we check off a box and we did it. And that is going to generate the same response. But that's not always the case. More often than not, it's not the case. And, you know, here's an example. I was with a team. We have our six program where you pair people off. Right. Yeah. And I remember doing a session with the team where I told the coach I wanted to do the six program and introduced it that day. And this coach, frankly, it was part of a campus day. So there were many teams signed up. Not all of, you know, some of the coaches, it was brought to them, say, hey, we've got this day available. Do you want to participate in it? So this particular coach, he agreed to participate in the campus day. But I just want to make sure everyone understands. He wasn't like the one reaching out, lining up, lead him up. Okay. So like he was a little hesitant. He was a little unsure. He had a little bit of arrogance, frankly, that, you know, he kind of does his own thing and, you know, does he need lead him up? You know, let's be honest. He probably does a Google leadership development program. And I told him I wanted to do the six program at the end of the session in light of the other things we'd be teaching. And I asked him if he'd put the pairs together and allow us to kind of introduce the pairs at the end. Now he agreed to do it, but he also made a point to let me know that, oh yeah. We kind of do this every year, the little buddy program. And he kind of like diminished the six program. And he's kind of like, yeah, you know, we do a buddy program. Yeah. I do it every year. Almost like, listen, like we already got this covered, but yeah. They hadn't done their buddy program yet. So he's like, yeah, you know, we'll do it and we can call it the six. That's fine. You know, because, you know, he was being a good sport. You know, he was falling in line with what we were trying to do there. So anyways, long story short, we teach that day during the workshop, the green team. We then teach lifeguarding. We then teach the six. And we do it in that sequential order. And I end up connecting with him about a month and a half later and just ask him, like, how are things going, you know, with the team? How's things playing out? And he begins to rave about the six program. He's like, man, first of all, that session was fantastic. And I got to be honest, man, the six has been so good. Man, all my guys have been, you know, using the language. You hear them all the time saying, that's my six. And, you know, they're trying to get their six into the green and they're calling them out when they're being red. Oh, man, it's so good. Man, I love it. Man, that was a great example of when you pull an exercise out of a cultural framework, how it doesn't generate it. The same effectiveness and demonstrating what it looks like when it's done within the framework, how the effectiveness multiplies. This coach had done a buddy program. It's not about the buddy program. That's the power. Because the six is a buddy program. So yes, this coach has done it every year, but it was never done within a framework, within a bigger picture of the culture. It was just done as a standalone thing. But I tell you, when the kids learn the green team, they then get introduced to the theme of the lifeguarding.
Right.
Where you have to keep individuals out of the red. And then the exercise of the six gets introduced through the lens that, hey, your job is to keep them out of the red and get them into the green. And it's as if you're an individual personal VIP lifeguard to make sure your guys don't drown. And it gets presented in this bigger framework through the language of these other exercises. Now, all of a sudden, the buddy program, quote unquote, feels different. The objectives within it are elevated. The gamification within it now is elevated. Now they're like, that's my six, and I have a mission to accomplish.
Yep.
Someone looks at it and they, from a distance, oh, yeah, I'll just do a buddy program. That's what they do and lead them up. No, it doesn't work that way. You can't take it out of the framework. When you pull exercises out of the context to which they're in, they don't have the effectiveness that you see and delivered when it's within. Going back to the worms, the gummy worms.
Yeah, the gummy worms.
People forget about the fact, or no one really thought about the fact that, you know, one of their players does the worm as like a little fun dance routine, which played into the gummy worm. There's a huge sweet tooth culture within that team where they talked about in some of the reports how everybody would always eat candy. It became like a big thing. You know, it was a big candy. Everyone loved candy. And they'd, you know, there were people that would bring candy in. It became, it organically grew. Right? It became natural for that team based on their personality. You can't just go pull things out of left field and think it's going to do it. And that's what happens when we try to patchwork it. It doesn't always work.
No.
Hey guys, this is Kayla with Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. Over the years, I feel like the most respected leaders and the most respected team members at Chick-fil-A are the ones that hold themselves accountable to the very highest level of expectations. In fact, you might say that they don't even need leadership because they monitor their own decisions and they check in on their own work. They don't leave anything on the table. In fact, if they can do it better, they're going to take it every single time. It's this internal drive to do nothing less than their very best, even when nobody's watching. They know that this is what takes it to the next level. So the question is, are you fueled by an internal accountability for excellence in every decision that you make? Do you put in the same amount of effort when nobody's watching you? That's what great respected leaders do. Now let's jump back to the episode.
Now, the other part about that, too, and you kind of reference that, is you not only are you taking it out of the framework, but the language that is built upon one theme to another is losing the effectiveness. And when you don't have a consistency in language week to week or theme to theme, then you're constantly trying to find things that will unite and bring the group together and a unifying factor. So I think that's the other thing that you, when you really look at this and break it down of where does this fall flat? And we're talking about, you know, efficiency and effectiveness. When you don't have that shared language or the consistency in the language from theme to theme, it makes it much more difficult to teach the next one because there's no carryover. And then as a result of that, it loses its effectiveness. So kind of both components suffer there with a lack of consistent language.
You know, and that is the other component as to why it's not as engaging and effective and efficient, right? Because language, and we speak on this so much, there's such a power in shared language. It does three things. It aligns, it unites, and it simplifies. It aligns, unites, and simplifies.
All three powerful.
And when you begin to kind of, when you have this patchwork, you're all of a sudden you're implementing all these random language, you know, tools into your program, and none of them kind of build off the themes of any of the others. They're all just these random phrases and random language components that, frankly, I mean, it's a job in and of itself just to remember all the random language components, because nothing's building. We're not reinforcing anything. Every week it's a new catchphrase that we think is going to stick because it's stuck for the University of Iowa men's volleyball or women's volleyball program that took them to a championship. And I'm going to hope that one's going to stick for us. And then I'm going to take one from Oral Roberts baseball, and that's going to stick with us. And then this language phrase from UCLA and John Wooden, that's going to stick with us. And all of a sudden you got like 50 different phrases. There's no consistency in the language. It's hard to even keep track of the language. All of a sudden it's just so much. That is a challenge. And I think that's part of the reason why in our curriculum, we've tried to be so intentional to create a language that is easy to remember, that builds as you go through, that works in connection with each other, right? That works in connection with each other. So when you're listening to the green team, you know, green, gray, and red, and then we bring into the fold lifeguarding, right? And we recognize the red flag that lifeguards put in the sand represents danger. Don't go there. And you recognize, oh, the red of lifeguarding is danger. Oh, the red and green team is danger. Don't go there. Oh, it's starting to make sense. Yeah. Right. Oh, the six is almost like a VIP individual lifeguard to help keep you from drowning and getting in the red. It makes sense. Oh my goodness. Like,
it gives visuals too, right? The language paints the picture in the head, and they can kind of start to see themselves in it. And that's the real powerful thing, I think, is consistent language allows that vision to be, you know, kind of in a way actualized in the mind before the behavior comes out in real life.
You know, it's there are teams that I've been around where the coaches have gone so heavy in their GLDP, their Google Leadership Development Program, where the number of sayings, the number of phrases, the number of like unique language bits that they've entered into the program with the hope of catching on and like allowing that is overwhelming. Yeah. I have seen coaches with notebooks, which are so many phrases. I've talked to them and they'll say things. Oh yeah. Yeah. We emphasize that a lot. Yep. Yep. We use this saying all the time. Yep. We say it like this. Yep. We do it like this. We do it like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, coach, like how do you keep up? Those are all so, they're all powerful. Don't get me wrong, but there's so many of them and they're all different and they're all just, it's just like we've created this like, this melting pot of just like taglines and phrases and we've thrown them all in a pot. We're hoping like one of them sticks.
Yeah, and one catches.
It's a challenge.
For the athletes too, I think the biggest thing for them, why maybe it doesn't work then is like you said, is there's so many of them that are out there, is which one is the important one? Which one is the, you know, if I've got 25 different things I'm trying to focus on, which one is the one that I really need to implement or focus on? And, you know, information overload, right? You know, the paralysis by analysis, when there's too much, then it becomes a challenge to implement anything.
Yeah, too many themes will have a diminishing return, okay? Mm-hmm. Right. Too many little catchphrases. You know, the last thing that I'll say that causes the GLDP, the patchwork curriculum, not to reach its full potential is when every week is kind of a sideload, like we talked about, when every week is just kind of randomly put together, you're not able to emphasize the points, to drill home the points and truly bring them to life. So we talk a lot about instilling, to firmly establish the things that that we want them to know and to really drill it in and to really embed it into the culture and emphasize and reinforce it. And frankly, when you are putting a patchwork curriculum together, that typically doesn't happen, right? Because every week you're putting something new in place. that the things you've shared kind of get forgotten. They kind of get put on the back burner. They're not emphasized enough. They're not drilled home as deep enough, as opposed to a program that is building, where one week kind of builds on the next. Every week that you're building and adding a new layer, you're actually building and using the language from the previous week as a springboard. I mean, it's just like offensive implementation. It's just like offensive implementation, where you start with the foundation. And once we kind of get the foundation of this one play set or this series, then you begin to build on it. Okay. Hey, exactly. Now when we get in this formation, all right, and we master these components, now I want you to look, this is what we can start doing on top of this. We'll take the same formation. Now we'll put someone in motion and we'll do this play out of this set and we'll do this out of this formation, but we got to get the foundation, and everything we're adding on is just kind of building on the previous foundation. And now it's growing, right? So it and everything's being instilled. You lose that when every week is its own week, when every week is its own patchwork.
I like that reference there with the playbook. I had a coach last week tell me that when a new coach had come into the program, and this coach is now kind of taken over. When he first got there, he met with some of the offensive assistants and it's like, so tell me what you guys have been running here. And someone that didn't have a lot of experience was basically Google, you know, leadership development, but for the playbook, took a lot of plays that were like on Madden. And like just like stuff that was online that worked for people. And like, here you go. Coach opened it up, looked at it. He's like, yeah, that's not going to work. Right in the trash can. Like you said, you've got to have the foundation in place. That's why spring ball happens, right? You build that. And then off of it, you can get nuanced and you can go deeper and you can have some more components that take place. But you simply can't just take things that are out there and say, oh, worked here, I'm going to apply it here. It's not going to happen.
I think there's two dynamics to building a thriving leadership program for your team. The first is the commitment. The first thing you got to do is commit. You got to commit to doing this week in and week out. And frankly, I will celebrate those that are doing patchwork curriculums, that are putting it together on the fly. I celebrate you because you've committed. Just like you, Kyle, early on in your coaching, you committed to it. And that's the first step. But it's very important that the second step gets accomplished. And that's finding the right program and curriculum that has been tested, that continues to build foundationally over time, and has demonstrated credibility across multiple sports and verticals. Right? That isn't just a one-hit wonder, right? But it's really been that consistent credibility across multiple sports. And the thing is, though, if you don't get the second part right,
first part doesn't mean anything.
The first part gets diminished in its results.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's those two components there. And frankly, you know, this episode in many cases is a challenge episode, challenging coaches that, you know, if this is kind of your approach and this is how you've been operating, or if you're a coach that you know of coaches operating in this manner, that, you know what, this is a challenge. I want you to wrestle with, you know, is there a better way? Or some of the things we shared in today's episode, did they convict you? Did you feel convicted in that? Did you understand when we talked about how it doesn't build and, you know, every week? And I'll say the last thing that the GLDP does, the patchwork, frankly, what you often find, there's typically a lack of preparation within it. And that shows. I can't tell you how many players have shared with me when I've asked them about previous programs that they've done, where they've almost acknowledged that they felt like the coach was just putting it together on the fly.
I'll admit that happened. There were several times where it's, you know, you have your planning period during the day, and that's when you're putting stuff together that you're going to use at practice that day.
And you're like, crap, I've got, absolutely. I've got to put this together.
Well, and then even at that time, you get called out, like say, hey, I've got this time devoted to it. I'm going to spend it doing this. But then you get called to sub for another teacher, or something happens and you get pulled away from it. Then you're really scrambling. I know that happens to coaches out there. It happened to me.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if I had to guess, and this is pure, just hypothetical, anecdotal, just based on my experience and guesswork, that if you did a 12-week GLDP patchwork curriculum, you know what? 25% of those weeks, you are just throwing something together on the fly, running into the session.
For sure.
Right? I mean, it is just, oh, crap. You know, let's just talk humility today. Let me just ask the players, why is it important? You know, it's just like you just engage in some discussion because you can just kind of make it up on the fly. But that lack of preparation shows, and your players take notice. And they recognize, you know, coach is just kind of putting this together. I don't think he or she's really all in on it.
That's when you notice the kids, they've got their head down. They're picking up grass. If they're taking a knee on a football team, they're picking up grass, putting on someone's leg in front of them. Or in basketball, they're untying their shoes. Like, they're not all locked in. They're not engaged, and certainly experience that. Absolutely.
And then it's just not producing the effectiveness. So, hey, no. You know, listen, feel free to pass this episode in a friendly nudge to any other coach that you know that is doing this type of approach in their curriculum. Let them listen. Let them just be challenged in this episode. And it's not about calling them out or trying to expose anyone. It's really just trying to provide to them a tool, and that, you know what, there, it couldn't be a better way. You know, when my dad calls me out for, you know, how I built something, he's not trying to call me out for the sake of calling me out. He wants to jump in because he says, you know, son, I got a better way for you. Adam, listen, I can help here. And then I'm always like, whew, thank goodness, dad, because you just saved me a lot of time, a lot of headache. Oh, this is so much better. Appreciate you. It's almost that same thought. Hey, but as always, we appreciate you listening. I'm Adam. He is Kyle, and on behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, until next time, we are out.